Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, guys, they told me the second service is the most powerful service in this church. But you seem like you're sleeping. Come on, let us stand. And when I count three, you guys need to shout, praise the Lord. Do you remember the book of Acts when the apostle used to pray, what will happen with the building? Shaking. We need to shake the building. Okay? And don't worry, they have insurance, you know, in case it fall down or something. Okay? Okay, one, two, three. Pray.
Praise the Lord.
No, you still. Come on, guys. No, you can do better than this, you know? Okay, one, two, three. Pray.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Have a seat, please. This is the way I wanted you to do. When you see a mosque, just go around and shout, praise the Lord. They will kill you, but that's okay. You know, you know where you're going, right? How many of you know where you're going? Raise your hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm very delighted to be here this morning and be part of your church service. And by the way, guys, you have an awesome worship team. You know, and a great church. Praise the Lord. You know, I can listen to their songs for a couple of hours. They're really anointed by the Lord. And you have a great man of God here, Pastor George. He has a great part, great love in my heart. And, you know, you guys are blessed by him. And I remember when I landed in Philly, I have an opportunity to preach in almost between 10 to 12 churches in Philly, New Jersey, and here in Boston. And the minute I arrived to Quaker Land, you call it Quaker Land or Quaker Town? Quaker Town, you know? Yeah, I like it more Quaker Land, you know? It's like Disneyland in California, you know? And when I arrived there and I was eating lunch with other pastors there, I told them, do you know Pastor George's small phone number? I wanted to call him and to tell him I am in the area, you know, and boom, here is George calling my cell phone. I said, wow, you know, really, that's amazing, you know. And again, I love you guys. You are an awesome church. And you are a great warrior for the Lord. And I would like you to open your gospel on Haggai chapter 2. You guys call it Haggai or Haggai. Your English is weird, you know. I will tell you a true story about your English. You know, me and my wife were in Spain in the airport, waiting for the plane to take us to America. And we saw a lot of Americans in the airport, and they greet each other, hey, man, hey, man. We thought they saying amen to each other. And we got excited. We said, praise the Lord. All Americans are Christian. Look how they greet each other. Hey, man, hey, man. Because we do that in Egypt, you know. We say, amen, brother, you know, amen, brother, amin, amin in Arabic, you know. And we thought this is English, you know, I mean, this is praise the Lord in English, you know. And we arrived and we attended churches and we heard some other same people in the street saying, hey, man, and some bad words in between. I said, that's weird, the Christianity here in America, you know. But I found out it's not amen, it's amen, you know. And your English is weird, but I would like to introduce myself. My real name was Muhammad Kamel, and I born in Egypt into a very restricted Muslim family and very radical Muslim family and belief. And I remember every Friday, after the Muslim prayer, you know, the imam will lead us in a prayer like this, you know, "Oh Allah, destroy Christian and Jew." And we all shout, "Amen," you know. "Make their wives widows." Everybody would say, "Amen," you know. "And make their children orphaned." We would shout, "Amen," you know, to that. "Destroy their home," you know, "destroy their family," you know. Very radical Muslim culture and faith. And I used to pray 5 times a day, but I came to faith in 1979 after I visited a church and God revealed himself to me through the Lord's Prayer. And I changed my name to Daniel Abdel Messiah, which means Daniel the slave of the Messiah, because I fell in love with the book of Daniel when I read it in Egypt, and I said, "Wow, this guy, I would love to have his name." And I told everybody in Egypt, "Call me Daniel Abdel Messiah, Daniel the slave of the Messiah." And how many of you guys heard Egyptians are the funniest group of people in Middle East? You know, I see some hands raised. You know, if you ask any Middle Eastern in anywhere in Middle East, who are the funniest people in Middle East, they will tell you Egyptian. You know, and they watch our movies, our actors, you know, they love Egyptian. And I will tell you a true story happened to me and my wife. You know, we love to smuggle Bibles in Africa. And one day when we were in Spain, I told my wife, "Hey, let us carry like 400, 500 Bibles in our trunk and let us go to Morocco. And we will give those Bibles to all the Muslim people there in Morocco." And my wife said, "Okay," you know. And that's what I love about my wife. She always say, "Okay," you know. And I saw an American missionary. I invited him, "Hey, come with us, brother. You know, we'll go smuggle gospel to Morocco." He said, "No, you are crazy, Daniel. You know, we can get arrested." And, you know, he was very scared to death. I told him, "Come on, man, don't be chicken, you know. You are an American, and worst case scenario, you know, they will send you back to America. But me and my wife will be arrested and spend time in prison. Why are you afraid of, you know?" And the guy, you know, I convinced him, and he said, "Okay, Daniel, I will go with you." And we start driving, you know, and we came to the border. All soldiers with guns, you know, they stopped my car. And the guy asked me, "Where are you from?" I said, "I'm from Egypt." Immediately he said, "Tell me a joke," you know. Because they know we are funny people, you know. And I start thinking fast about a nice joke because I have 500 Bible in my trunk, you know. I don't want the guy to search it, you know. And I told him the joke. He started laughing and laughing and laughing. And he told all the soldiers, "Open the gates to this guy," you know. And they open the gates and we go through Morocco. We start giving the Bible to everyone we see after the border. And I would like to show you a DVD about our ministry, what we do. The purpose of our ministry is to equip Christians and churches to reach out to Muslims without fear. You know, and I encourage you to come on Tuesday, you know, to get some training how you can reach out to Muslim. And by the way, reaching out to Muslim is easy and fun. I'm serious. Easy and fun. You know, and I will give you 3 keys. You know, when you see Muslim person in anywhere, you know, the first key, don't hit them with the Bible. You know, talk about food. Talk about food, you know. Say, "Oh, wow, where are you from?" You know, "Oh, he is from Iraq. Wow, I love the dolma. I love your food," you know. And I see some Iraqi people here, you know. They know what I mean. Delicious food. That's the first key. Talk about food. Second thing, invite yourself to their home. Yeah, don't be afraid. I know in your culture, it's strange a little bit, but in our culture, Middle East, for example, if if Bob saw me in the street and tell me, hey, Daniel, I wanted to come and eat dinner with you today at your home, I will call my wife and say, hey, wife, prepare food. Bob is coming, you know, and we will get him to the house in the same day, you know. But if I met Bob in the street and told him, hey, Bob, I need to come and eat dinner at your home today, you know, he's an American, he will pull his cell phone and he will start scheduling me for 6 months in advance, you know. But in our culture, you know, we will take you right away. Then, first key, don't hit them with the Bible. Talk about food. Secondly, invite yourself to the home. And by the way, this was Jesus' way of reaching out. I know you're laughing, but it's really biblically. You remember when he saw Zacchaeus over the tree? He told Zacchaeus, come down. I must eat in your home. Wow. You know, who knows better than Jesus? You know, that's why we need to follow Jesus' way. Third key, you ask your Muslim and you beg him. You know, and I wanted you to make it like you're begging him, you know. Please, you know, I'm studying Islam and I need to interview a Muslim. Could you please be this Muslim to interview you? You know, and I have a 50-question interview. We'll give it to you. You can ask for it at the door. And you can start asking those questions, and you will find those 50 questions are very interesting because I mix it with funny stuff and culture. But in the middle, you will ask deep questions, you know. And you can share your faith during this interview. And don't do the interview in one setting. Make it like 4, 5, 6 times. First of all, you will be able to eat more food, okay, for 4, 5, 6 times. Secondly, you will build a good relationship with your Muslim friend. You can imagine you seeing and visiting a family 6 times, you know, in a couple of months, say once every week or every couple of weeks. You know, you will know them and they will know you. And by the way, Muslims are open for the gospel than any time in the history. Really, they are very open. And I will show you some DVDs. It will blow your mind. Because really, your media is deceiving you in America and does not give you what really happening in Middle East. What they present here is Muslims are difficult, Muslims are dangerous, you know, Muslims are hard. Look to ISIS. Look how many people are killed in Egypt or in Iraq, you know. All of the propaganda of the media, they try to put fear in our hearts as a Christian not to share the gospel with our Muslim friends. And I'm here this morning to break this fear in your heart, not only by testimonies, but also by seeing and watch what is going on in Middle East. Let us play Open the Gates promo first, and then we go for the second one.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, he is using all of us today to crack the image of Islam.
My fellow Muslims now, and I want to bring them to know the love of Christ. They're not slaves, they're sons and daughters of the Lord who loves them.
Jesus paid the price for me to go to heaven. And he paid for everyone here.
My friends, the mission field is here. Us about good news about Jesus Christ.
If you put your trust in Jesus, you will go to heaven.
Who will share the gospel with the mob? If you guys are silent, how people will be saved? Praise the Lord. We can keep the screen down, then we can save some time, you know. God put in my heart to reach out to Muslims in Middle East. And the Lord gave me a vision to share it, to share the message through broadcasting, satellite. Because satellites are the secret weapon. You know, governments can stop missionaries from going in, you know, and they can control the evangelism in Middle East, but they can't control the satellite. And God gave me this vision in my heart, and you will hear more about that on Tuesday, how I came with the name The Rock. We call it The Rock Sat, SAT.com. You can watch it if you have a satellite, and also on your internet, 24 hours, 7 days a week, and you can even tell your Muslim friend about it. They can watch it, and we have cards there outside, and you can tell your Muslim friend, hey, by the way, this is an Arabic channel, go watch it. You know, let us see the rock. And we have it in Arabic and English. See this guy. This guy at the left side with a Middle Eastern dress, he was number 5 in a role to be the king of the Kuwait. And he accepted Christ. And he gave his testimony in our studio in San Diego. You know, and I wanted to encourage you guys. I wanted to encourage you to reach out to your Muslim friends, you know, and open your Bible to Haggai chapter 2. And by the way, you know, all what I said was introduction. You know, the real preaching will start from now. You know, and I wanted to give you a warning. When an Egyptian preacher preach, we never go by the watch. We go by calendar when we preach. Okay? And I will tell you a true story. When I planted the first Arabic church in San Diego, you know, people start complaining. They said, you preach too long, you know, for an hour or sometimes an hour and a half. Said, here in America, we need fast food. You know, we need to eat, to listen to the sermon and go to eat and, you know, go to the beach, you know. I said, okay, guys, I just need someone facing me. And if I pass 30 minutes, just give me a sign. And one day I was excited and I passed 35 minutes. You know, he gave me the first sign. I pretended I didn't see him. I started walking the other side. You know, and I see him walking with me. And after 45 minutes, 50 minutes, you know, he gave me the second sign. Same thing, I pretended I'm looking to the other side. And finally, he changed it from this to this. And the problem was that he was from Iraq, you know. And Iraqi people, when they do that, they mean it, you know. They are not like you guys. You guys can say, you know, I kill you, but you are, you know, funny. But in Middle East, when they do that, they mean it, especially in Iraq. And when he did that, I quit immediately, you know, for the safety of me and my family, you know. But let us read in Haggai chapter 2, starting from verse 4. Yet now, be strong, Zerubbabel. Yet now, be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, and then be strong, all you people of the land. Three times, he telling his people, he telling Joshua, be strong, Zerubbabel, be strong, and then all you people, be strong. And then he said, and work. My church, my friend, the Lord is telling all of us today, be strong. Be strong, be strong, and work. We must stand. We must share the gospel to other people. We are the only people have good news. There is no good news in Islam. There is no good news anywhere, but only in the Bible. You know, and in 2 Kings 7, 9, the Lord told us through three people. They said to each other, today is the day of good news. And we remain silent. If we remain silent till morning light, punishment will take over us. Church, we need to wake up. God is moving all over the world. And in verse 6, he's saying, once more, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. That's the word of the Lord for all of us today. God is shaking all the nation now. God shaking Middle East, starting with Tunisia, Egypt, Libya, Iraq, Iran is next, and America is next. God will shake all nations. Do you know why? Because God loves all nations. God wanted all nations to receive Christ. Middle East was closed for 1400 years. You can imagine, in my time in Egypt in 1979, when I attended the church first time there, there are five Muslims only in the church. Today, we have thousands and thousands are attending churches. Millions and millions are coming to know the Lord. You know, they estimated 3 million, praise the Lord. They estimated over 3 million Muslims converted to Christ since 2011. 3 million. In Iran, 1 million Muslims accepted Christ. They were 500,000 long time ago, but now they are over 1 million. In Sudan, in Iraq, and everywhere in the Middle East now, we're hearing about millions and millions of Muslims are coming to know the Lord. Do you know why? Because God shake the Middle East, you know, and open the Middle East to the church to start sharing the good news. The church of Egypt in 1979, in my time, they were afraid to open their mouths to talk about Jesus. The Coptic Church, even the Evangelical Church, they were afraid. But now, because of the persecution, and God is shaking the nation, do you know what happened in the Church of Egypt now? They are in the street, are sharing the gospel to everyone. And that's what's the result of the persecution. When God allow persecution to happen, revival will come. You know, my sister-in-law called me a long time ago, and she said, hey, you need to come to Egypt to see what's happening in Egypt right now. I said, what happened? She said, Muslims are in the street asking us about Jesus. And that's what's happening in the Middle East, you know. The Lord is appearing to Muslims through vision and dreams. You know, millions of Muslims are coming through vision and dreams. 42% of Muslim converts are coming to know the Lord through vision and dream. You know, 3 weeks ago, before I come here, I received a call from a church. I scheduled to preach in their church the following week. And the pastor called me and said, Daniel, I have a guy here from Saudi Arabia with his girlfriend, and we can't communicate with him because his English is not that good. Could you please contact him? I took the phone number. I called him. I said, hey, I am coming to this church next week to speak. Let us meet at that time. He said, okay. When I came after the service, I said, let us go eat lunch. And at the lunch, I told him, tell me your story. He said, I born in Saudi Arabia. I am from very well-known family. Even his family is a descendant of the Prophet Muhammad himself. And his dad is the ambassador of Saudi Arabia in Tehran, in France, in India, in Mozambique. Very well-known ambassador of Saudi Arabia. And I came here to the state to learn English. And at the college, I met Isa, his girlfriend, from Brazil. And we love each other. We wanted to get married. I called my family. They told me, Isa need to convert to Islam. You can't marry her unless she's a Muslim. She become a Muslim. And he tried to convert as a girl. He gave her a lot of books to convince her that, you know, Muhammad is the last prophet, Islam is the best religion. And Isa said, no, I will not convert to Islam. Jesus saved my life. You know, he tried again and again. Finally, he said, I will bring the imam of the mosque to talk with Isa. The imam came, talked with Isa. Isa told him, look, I have nothing in Islam, but Jesus saved my life. I will not convert you to Islam. You know, and when I heard that from this young lady, I said to her, Isa, you are my hero. And I wish all younger ladies in America or in Europe to take the same stand, you know, because Muslim, sometimes they target the American girls, the young girls, and in Europe. And they try to convince them to get married and get more children. And that's now how they're controlling England. And the statistics show that, you know, the more the Muslim doing that in England, England will be a Muslim nation very, very soon, maybe between 10 to 15 years. Without even war, because the population of Muslims are growing in England by targeting younger ladies in England and in the United States and in Europe, you know. And I told her, Isa, you are my hero. And then this guy, the young man, continued sharing his story, and he said, I got frustrated with Isa. One day we were walking at Balboa Park and, you know, talking to God, and I said, you know, I'm a Muslim and Islam is the best religion. You know, how come Isa does not want to convert? And boom, suddenly he saw Jesus' face in the sky. And he got shocked. And after a couple of seconds from his vision, another guy came, passing him. He gave him a track, the $1 million track about Jesus. And in the back is the church name and address and phone number where I scheduled to preach the following week. And you see how God loved Muslims, you know, orchestrate their salvation. My friend, Muslims are ready to come to Christ. Today is the day of good news, and we remain silent. Another lady, a couple of months ago, I was driving in El Cajon, and I saw a Muslim lady covered from head to toes, only her eyes, and she started waving for me, you know, and I came close to her. She said, please meet me at the library. I said, okay. And I am trained when a Muslim lady talks to me or any Muslim guy, I know there is a story he wanted to share with me. And I went to the library, I pulled the book, and I sat next to her. I pretended I'm reading in the book, and I told her, what's your story? She said, you are Daniel Messiah. I said, yes. She said, I heard you speak in a couple of months at Kayameka College, and I came back home, and I prayed. I said, Lord, if you are Christ, if you are in Christianity, show me. If you are in Islam, show me. And the Lord appeared to her, and she became a Christian. Praise the Lord. And she said, I am Christian now, but I need to read the Bible. I need to learn the gospel. Could you please send someone to teach me? I said, we will do. And we sent a lady to pretend she's a friend, and she goes to her home to teach her the gospel. Muslims are open for the gospel. You know, another lady, and this time she's an American lady, and she is my hero. You know, how many ladies are here in the meeting? Raise your hand. All ladies. No, keep it up. Keep it up. You will like the story. Good. Okay. You know, I encourage, you know, all my students to share the gospel with Muslims, you know, and I run classes all over United States, even in overseas, teaching Christian, don't be afraid. This is how you approach Muslim. And one of our students, she is a teacher at one of the colleges. I will not mention the location because she might be in trouble. But this lady, she is really my hero. We prepare outreach every year, and we invite Muslims to our meetings. And I think you saw this lady in this DVD, you know, where is the dancing, you know, at Open the Gates DVD. But anyway, you know, we start telling all the students, we need to invite Muslims to our outreach. And this lady, she's a teacher. She went to her classes, and she invited over 200 Muslims. She called me and she said, Daniel, do you have a bus? I said, no, I didn't have a bus. She said, can you get a bus? I said, let me try. I start calling, you know, the big churches around me, you know, please, we need to lend you a bus. But sadly, you know, those big churches, you need to go to the board and you get approval, and, you know, it will take you, you know, weeks and weeks, you know. I said, forget about the bus. I went and I rent four van, and I put people, you know, to drive those van back and forth from downtown to El Cajon City in San Diego to bring those Muslims. And 200 Muslims came to our outreach because of this one lady, you know. And I see many ladies around me today, you know. And you guys can turn this city upside down, you know. Muslims are open for the gospel. And all of them, they received the gospel. They took Bibles, DVD, and they start communicate with Christian, going to churches. You know, the door is open, my friend. In Sudan and in Africa, 667 Muslims are coming to know the Lord every day. You believe that? 667 a day Muslims are coming to know the Lord. 16,000 coming every month. 6 million Muslims are converting to Christ in Africa every year. And I will show you a DVD now. You know, I captured the DVD from Al Jazeera TV, not the 700 Club. You know, TV. You know, because I don't want it Muslims think we fabricate, you know, those statistics or those numbers. You know, and I know many Muslims are listening to me right now, but this guy, the Imam, if we can work on the Imam DVD, and this guy, his name is Zughbi. Zughbi is the famous Muslim Imam in Egypt and in all Islamic world. Very respected guy. This guy on Al Jazeera TV, he said to all Muslim leaders, be careful because Muslims are converting to Christianity, especially in Sudan and in Africa. And if that keep happening, in 2 years, Sudan will be for Jesus. There will be no Muslim in Sudan, you know? And this is from Al Jazeera TV. Let us see this.
المهم الذي أود أن أقوله إن التنصير اشتد في الشمال أقول في الجنوب وأخشى إن بقي الأمر على ذلك لعامين فقط أن لا يكون في شمال السودان موحد.
In 2 years, there will be no Muslim in Sudan if the rating of the conversion are continuing like that. Let us see, while the screen is down, how many Muslims coming to churches in Egypt. You will see my church, where I accepted Christ, Muslims are welcome to church. Like I mentioned, in my church, in 1979, I met 5 Muslims, you know, convert attending the church. Not this one. The other one is called Muslim Welcome to Church. But now you will see hundreds and hundreds, a size of this church, half of them are Muslim attending. Let us see.
احنا حطينا عنوان بسيط للحفل ده.
He introduced the church.
كنيسة ميدان التحرير.
He said the church in Tahrir Square.
المنطقة دي كان اسمها كده مرة
ثانية. برحب عن الدبارة.
واخوات لينا مسلمين دعناهم.
Now he welcomes the Muslims.
ممكن الضيوف مش اللي هيكرموا. ممكن يقفوا ممكن كل اخواتنا المسلمين.
He asking all Muslims.
عندنا اخوات كتير قوي اصدقاء جايين النهارده اهلا وسهلا اهلا وسهلا اهلا وسهلا اهلا وسهلا اهلا وسهلا اهلا وسهلا
اهلا وسهلا مين ويلكم
اهلا وسهلا
A lot of Muslims standing in this church. Muslims are coming to know the Lord by the thousands and the million. And we need to have an open eyes. And God wanted to use us, church, everyone, to be part of God's work. Be strong, be strong, be strong, and work. Because I will shake all nations. And I am telling you, your nation will be shaking very soon. You see, in Egypt, because of the persecution, there is a big revival. You know, in fact, if you can prepare the big revival for us right now, you will see 70,000 people gather in the cave church after the riot in Egypt. And Muslim came, and even Coptic. The Coptic churches now are awake, and everybody is taking the gospel to the Muslim. And I think this is will happen in the church here in America. The church here is silent. You know, we come to church, we listen to the sermon, we love the worship, we go to eat and sleep and go to work. You know, this is Christianity in America. But I think God never meant this kind of Christianity. The real Christianity in the book of Acts. If you guys does not know it, read the book of Acts. The book of Acts said the church was bold, bold, and they go to places, they go to the temple, they go to the Jew, and they got beaten, putting in jail, in prison, they go out, they preach the gospel. Whatever happened, they know they are believing in awesome God. You know, and this God can save their life. There is no fear in the early church. You know, one day I went to take a group of missionaries to Kenya, East Lee. Very dangerous area of Muslim. And I have two pastors, Pastor Gary and Pastor David, you know, and they told me a day before, Daniel, you know, we need you to be aware. In East Lee, in Kenya, there is no police, no army will go to this place if anything went wrong in your debate. I go sometimes debate Muslim imam in the mosque, you know, in the stadium, you know, it depends what God wanted to send me. And I was preparing myself to debate an imam in the mosque in East Lee. And when I heard that, I went to sleep. And I said, Lord, do you want me to go or not? You know, because I heard there is no police, no army can get involved. And I have a wife and five kids. And in my head, you know, I wanted to be wise, but in the same times, I didn't want it to be afraid because of the news, okay? And I went to sleep, and second day, I wake up, and I found myself singing the song of Miriam, the horse and its rider has been thrown into the sea. You remember this song? The horse and its rider has been thrown into the sea. I wake up and I was singing it in Arabic, you know. Al-faras wa rakibu qatrahuma fil bahr. I said, what is happening? And the Lord told me, you know, I try to encourage you that the horse and its rider is thrown into the sea, which means don't worry about the debate. You will have the victory over there. Because the horse referring to the power of Islam and Middle East. I told everybody we'll go to East Lee. Everybody got to the bus. We have almost 15 people, five, six women, and the other men was our group. And we parked the bus outside the city in case anything happened to us. Women can take the bus and, you know, can send some help. And the men start walking in the street of East Lee. And I found out East Lee is very dangerous, you know, when you look to people, when you look to the street, you know. And we came to the mosque, and the mosque was closed. And only 10 people standing in the front of the mosque. I said, you know, 10 people, that's easy to deal with, you know. And I said, hey, guys, before that, before we approached the mosque, we saw piles of rocks around the mosque, you know, and Pastor Dave, he pulled my hand, took me aside, and he said, Daniel, did you notice the piles of rocks? I said, yes. He said, how you feel? Do you want it to do it? Do you want it to go to do the debate? I said, Gary, yeah, we will go do it, you know. I have the confirmation from the Lord, the horse and its rider has been thrown into the sea. And we start continue. Pastor Dave pulled me again because he saw piles of rocks. He said, Daniel, did you notice the piles of rocks? I said, yes. He said, how you feel? Same words. Pastor Gary told me. You know, I said, I'm feeling good. We'll continue. He said, okay. And we start getting close. We saw those 10 people. You know, the mosque is closed and 10 Muslim people are standing there. I approached them. I said, hi, guys. You know, I'm from Africa. I'm from Egypt. And we start, you know, talking to them. I said, by the way, I wanted to show you the Bible is the word of God from your Quran. And they said, the Bible is the word of God from the Quran. I said, yes. I told someone, he carrying his Quran, open your Quran. And I start quoting the verses from the Quran showing the Bible is the word of God. And everybody started getting, wow, the Bible in the Quran, the Bible is the word of God. And suddenly, a guy came from my back and started shoot all the rocks toward me. And that's a signal to all Muslim to stone this guy. And he was mad and upset, and he told everybody, you know, don't listen to this guy. You need to leave. You need to leave now. And they start shooting all the rocks. Pastor Gary and Pastor Dave, when they saw the rocks is flying, they came to me and said, Daniel, we're going to check about the bus, you know. And I know their feelings. They got afraid, you know. And they went to the bus. Now I am standing with other three or four American people. And suddenly, the imam heard what is going on in the front of the mosque. He came rushing. He has a microphone and a speaker. And they start shouting, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. We found all the city coming out and surrounding all of us. You know, if you can prepare the Kenya picture, we can see those pictures, you know. And he gave me the microphone, and he told me, what is the subject of the debate? Yeah, that's here I'm standing, and all the crowd. He said, what is the subject of the debate? I said, the Bible is the word of God according to your Quran. And he gave me the microphone, and, you know, I started praying. I said, Lord, I know this might be my last sermon I will preach. Just help me not to blow it and give me a good message to the people. And I started telling them, you know, Jesus loves you guys, and he came to die for your sin. I tried to give as long as fast information about what Jesus did for them, because they can stone me anytime, you know. And he got upset. He said, Mr. Daniel, don't preach. Talk about the subject, you know. And I saw another guy with a Quran in the crowd. Yeah, you can bring the next picture, you know. And I told the imam, could you please open the Quran? And I start reaching out and telling him the reference. You see the crowd, see those two people? They can't believe themselves, you know. Wow, the Bible in the Quran? You know, this guy is quoting our Quran and showing everybody the Bible is the word of God. You know, and after I finish, you can show the next one and the one next. And after I finish, I give him the microphone, and I thought this guy will come, you know, you see, from 10 people to the whole city around us, you know. And I give him the microphone, and I thought he will attack everything I said. But for my surprise, I found out this guy, he took the microphone and he said, Mr. Daniel, Now we believe the Bible is the word of God. And everybody start shouting, you know. Praise the Lord. And they start following us to take the Bible from us. And the funny thing is, in the whole thing, you know, Pastor Gary and David, they came and they found all of those people around me. You know, we have a password in any mission trip. If anyone said peanut butter, you need to leave. You know, that's the password, peanut butter. You know, and when Gary saw this, you know, crowd, he knows I'm dead inside, you know, me and the other four people. He came between the people, and he found me sitting. He sat next to me, and he told me, peanut butter, man, you need to leave. I said, no, we will not leave. He said, peanut strawberry, you need to go, man. You know, I said, no, Gary, we can't leave now. Because they will really see us as people come to do a kayas. We need to finish it. And after the imam finished, he gave me the microphone and he said, please introduce your friends. You know, they love us, you know. And I gave the microphone to Gary. He was the most one scared in the whole situation. He gave him the microphone. He said, I am an American. I said, no, don't say that here. You know, now they will kill you, you know. And everyone start introducing himself. They start hugging us, and they follow us to the bus to take Bibles, you know. My friend, you know, Muslims are open, you know, and we have an awesome God. Don't be afraid to share the love of God with your Muslim friend. And this was my story. I mentioned to you I was a Muslim, and I never know anything about Christianity. I have a friend for 12 years. You can imagine, 12 years. He never told me Jesus loves me. He never gave me a Bible for 12 years. And, you know, many of you guys, maybe they never share the gospel with anybody. You know, even your neighbor, you know, co-worker. You eat with them. I eat with my friend every day. He sleep over, I sleep over. He never told me Jesus loves you. One day I went to church, and my agenda was to make fun of the Christian. And I told my friend, could you please take me to your church? He afraid to take me to his church. He thought I would put a bomb in his church. He sent me to a different church. See how Christians do, you know? They love each other. Don't bomb my church. Bomb the other church, you know? Yeah, the fear. The fear. Christian afraid. This is a reality. We afraid. But God never give us the spirit of fear. We have the spirit of love and boldness, you know. We have awesome God, guys. And anyway, I'm glad he took me to this church, the one you saw in the DVD. And, you know, I told him, could you please write your prayer? I took the prayer. He wrote the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in Heaven. And I start reading the prayer, and I start laughing. I said, those people are really crazy. They believe in God is my daddy, you know. And I opened the window, and I said, I start asking God, are you my daddy? Are you my father? When did you marry to my mom? You know, because that's how Muslims think. The word father means physical relationship between God and the woman. When you say Jesus is Son of God, that's mean God have a son like we have kids, you know? Do you guys believe in this? Do you believe God has a son like we have son? No, you know? And I start mocking this prayer. Are you my daddy? Are you my father? I can call you Baba in Arabic. And boom, suddenly, the Holy Spirit filled my room. And God's presence was very heavy. And I felt God's love around me. And even his arm, even his face. And I heard his voice, like you guys hearing me. Yes, I am your daddy. I am your father. You know, praise the Lord. And it break my heart. I start crying like a baby. Why you left me 23 years? Why you left me 23 years? I went to sleep. I wake up the second day. I got the Bible and I start reading the gospel. I can't even close the gospel. I saw the power of Jesus in the word. Jesus healed. Jesus raised the dead. Muhammad never did any miracle. You know, Muhammad is dead and they buried him in Medina in Saudi Arabia. But Jesus is alive. Even the Quran saying that. The Quran saying Jesus is alive. Jesus is the sign of the end. Jesus raised the dead. Jesus did miracle in the Quran. You know, all over, Jesus is alive. But Muhammad is dead, you know. And after I saw all of this, I started going to church not to watch Christians, but to know more about my daddy. And one day, the church invited me for a conference. And at the conference, I heard a preacher was preaching about Jesus can change your heart. Jesus can change your life. And if you give your life to him, you will see great change. Touch my heart. I said, wow, this is what I wanted. And I remember in Islam, I used to stand as a Muslim and pray and cry and say, Allah, change me. But no change in Islam. I took a side in the conference on my knees. And I prayed to test Jesus. I told him, if you really, this guy telling the truth, change me. Change me. I am ready for change. And boom, another shower of the Holy Spirit, shaking my life in and out. And I start speaking in tongues. And I'm in Presbyterian church. You know, I'm not in Pentecostal church. You know? And boom, 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 praising the Lord was another language. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I decided to share the gospel with everyone I will meet. And I stopped praying. And I said, Lord, this is my commitment. I will share the gospel with 10 Muslim people a day. I will not sleep without sharing the gospel with 10 people. You know, how about you guys? How many people you witness a day? How is your commitment to the Lord who saved you, who changed your life? I said, Lord, I didn't want it to be like Christians in Egypt. They're afraid. They live in fear. You know, I want it to be like you. And I start praying, Lord, use my life. You know, give me ideas to share the gospel. One of the great ideas is I will go to the high-rising building, and when I go inside the elevator, and the elevator is closed, I have a captive audience. I will start to preach to all of them. And you see, when the door is open, everybody running, you know. And I will count how many people I share the gospel with. If I have 8, I will go in the middle of the night, stop a taxi, and take a taxi for a couple of blocks. And guess what? I will share the gospel with the taxi driver. That's number 9. And then I will ask him to drop me. I will take another taxi back home. You know, sharing the gospel with him, that's number 10. You know, like I said, my friend, I am serious when it comes to evangelism, you know. I am excited because I see people got saved. And I see what God is doing. You know, God wanted you guys to be part of the harvest. The harvest is coming. The harvest knocking on the doors. You know, Muslims are screaming to you, please come help us. Do you remember in Acts 16 when Paul saw a vision? And in his vision, a guy from Macedonia came to him and begging him, begging Paul, come help us. And I hope the message today will rest in your heart. And when you go anywhere, when you go to eat outside, when you go travel, when you go to work, you will hear the same voice. Come, help us. Share the gospel with your friends. Share the gospel with your neighbor, with your student. Wherever you go, they begging us. Come and help us. And I decided to take the gospel everywhere. You know, that was the only thing in my on the front of my eyes. One day, I shared the gospel in a taxi, and the taxi driver does not respond to the message. And, you know, he reported me to the secret police. The secret police came, arrested me, put me in prison for 8 months. You know, solitary confinement. No bed, no cover. I'm not allowed to change my clothes. Even my toilet, no toilet. I use a coffee can with sharp edges. You know, I used to take my shoes to cover it, to sit on it. You know, all prisoners have free time, but I didn't have any free time. And I got interrogated by the secret police and the attorney general. They took me to the attorney general, and the attorney general was interrogating me, and I prayed, Lord, give me something to this man. I am not here for him to interrogate me. And the Lord gave me 3 questions to this man, and I need you to write those questions because very, very important. I told them, Mr. Hisham, I will ask you 3 questions. If you answer them, I will go back to Islam. If you didn't answer them, you need to read the Bible and take Christianity seriously. He accepted. And I asked him, does Allah love you in Islam? He said, I don't know. I told him the 2nd question, where are you going if you die today? He said, I don't know. You know, in Islam, my friend, all Muslim, according to chapter 19, verse 71, all Muslim are going to hell. There is no hope for Muslims. But they didn't read the Quran. They didn't understand what the Quran teaching, like nominal Christian. I told him the 3rd question, Mr. Hisham, is Allah able to change you in Islam? He said, Allah never change anybody. You know, لا يغير الله قوما حتى يغير ما بأنفسهم. Allah will never change anybody. You need to change yourself. I told him, Mr. Hisham, did you notice your answer? Allah does not love you. Allah will not take you to heaven. Allah is not able to change you. Why are you following Allah in Islam? And this is the attorney general of all Egypt, guys. You know? And he turned the table. He asked me the same 3 questions. And he told me, he asked me the 1st question, is God loves you in Christianity? I said, yes, God loves me in Christianity. God came from heaven to earth. He died for my sin. He paid my price, you know. And he asked me the 2nd question, where are you going if you die? I said, I'm going to heaven. And I can prove it to you now. He said, how? I said, I'm not scared of you. I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. I know you can sign my paper. I know who you are. With your signature, I can be behind the sun. An expression in Egypt means I will disappear. Even if you do that, I know where I'm going. I'm going to my heavenly daddy. I'm going to my father. And he asked me the 3rd question, is God changing people in Christianity? I said, yes, that's why I am here in your office. Because God, Jesus, changed my life. You know, he was upset and he signed the paper. He put me 8 months. And after 8 months, I got released. And I married my lovely wife. And we got our firstborn, Josh. And my wife was working as a babysitter. in Costa Mesa, and she was excited about Josh's birthday. She took him to the house, and she lifted him on the floor, and he was just, you know, start learning how to walk. And he opened the swimming pool door, and he fell down and died in the swimming pool. And she was not aware of where Josh is. She started screaming, calling, no respond. When she came back, she saw him in the swimming pool, but he was dead. It was too late. She pulled him, started screaming. You know, all the neighbor came. She called me. She said, your son is dead. Your son is dead. Your son is dead. When I heard that, it was terrible news I ever heard in my life. And the other pastor took me in his car. We went to the house. I saw my son, cover, yellow rope. My wife on the other side, she cut her dress two pieces. That's how we mourn in our culture. She bring all the dirt over her head. When I saw this, my heart was toward my wife. I went toward her. I gave her a hug, and we cried together. But something in my heart was telling me, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Go pray for your son. And it was really heavy on my spirit. Go pray for your son. And I went close to my son. The police told me, no, this is an accident scene. You can't come close. But the other pastor explained to them, I am his dad. They allowed me to come close. And I kneel next to my son with short prayer. I said, Lord, I wanted to see your glory. That's it. Show me your glory. And he knows what I meant by this. Show me your glory. And boom, my son started screaming under the cover. You know, and everybody got shocked because they watched my wife crying and my son is covered for over 45 minutes. And here is my son starts screaming. They took him to the hospital. And the doctor brought water this size, and he told me, don't put your hope high. Your son will be vegetable. And again, your English is weird, you know, because my son will be vegetable with the English I know. I said, my son will be vegetable. How come, you know? But the other pastor told me, you know, your son will have a brain damage. And the doctor said to us, he will lose his eyes, his sight, hearing, and he will forget about you. Don't put your hope high. One of those three will happen. And my wife, around midnight, they cover him with wires connecting to machine, monitoring his heart, his lungs. They cut both feet to give him IV. And almost midnight, my wife tried to wake him up. She started calling his name, Josh, because she was feeling guilty. And suddenly, Josh opened his eyes, and he did like that to her. That's how we teach our kids to play, you know? And he did like that to her. She, you know, immediately she knew Jesus healed him. You know, she grabbed him, praise the Lord. And they examine him. She starts screaming, Jesus healed my son. All the machines start beeping, and nurses came, you're crazy. And finally, the doctor said, hey, I saw miracles today. You know, I heard about miracles, but today I saw one. Your son has no brain damage. We'll watch him 24 hours, and you can come pick him up. And we came the second day. We pulled him. And we decide to go to San Diego. You know, he has no brain damage. You know, he has a teenager brain damage, but that's okay. You know, we can deal with this. And we went to San Diego, and my wife insists to put all the furniture in my car. And I have a station wagon, 1975, was 5 gears. And I start going to El Cajon Boulevard. It's a big hill exit. And the gear number 5 broke, and number 4 broke, number 3 broke, and the car starts shaking. We have a lot of furniture. And finally, number two and number one broke. You know, I said, you know, Satan, I know you tried to kill my son. Jesus raised him. You tried to kill my car. I will not allow you to do that. I remember I have the reverse. It's still working. I put the car on reverse. I turn the car around, and I start driving backward, and all the cars was the front, you know. Don't try to do it. Only Egyptian can do that, okay? Yeah, and we came and we planted the church, and I wanted to end with the revival in Egypt, and I will let you dismiss, you know, the revival of Egypt. You will see what God is doing. All people. The warrior. Hallelujah. Look, look at the Coptic. The Coptic priest. Look. Praise the Lord. God is good. Let us stand. Let us stand, and the worship team will come. Hopefully they didn't went home, but, you know. And I don't know if we can sing the one song you did in the morning, I will lay down everything. You know, this was great song. And until they prepare themselves, you heard my story. You heard what God is doing in Middle East. Now, we need to come to business now with the Lord. You know, where are you with the Lord? Are you saved? Did Jesus in your heart, came to your heart? Did Jesus change your life? If not, I am telling you today is the good news. You know, perfect. You are here. You are here today. It's not by an accident. And I'm here today. It's not by an accident. That's a divine appointment. God wanted to show you He is your daddy. He is your father. And you can approach Him and tell Him, Daddy, I lost. I got lost. I was lost for many years. Sorry. For what I did. Forgive me. Forgive my sin. I am coming to you. Can you do that? Let us hear the song. And after the song, if you want it to come forward, I will pray with you.
I lay it down. And all that's in my heart, I lay it down and place it at your feet for you alone. Have everything. everything I need, I lay it down.
No, no.
I lay it down. I want more of you. I need more of you.
So I come.
So I come to you with arms open wide. Give my heart to you. Only you can satisfy. Let your fire burn to the depths of my soul. Take me deeper, Lord.
I
want to lose control. I want more of you. I need more of you.
Hallelujah. Do you want it more of Jesus? Amen. Who would like to accept the Christ this morning? Everybody is closing your eyes. Pray. Anyone would like to take Jesus to his or her heart this morning? Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed of. Amen. Amen. I see hand here. Amen. Amen. Anyone really would like to get more of Jesus? And the real joy when you bring Jesus to your heart. You know, every time I listen to songs like this, wow, you know, why you are far away from Christ? Come, accept Christ. Who else would like to give his life to Christ? Raise your hand. Amen. Amen. Who else? Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. I'm proud of you guys. Who else would like to give his life to Christ? Jesus is here. He loves you. He's your daddy. You will go today with your daddy. You will hold his hand and you will go out. You came without him, but he will take you to today after the service. And you will see miracles. You will see awesome work in your life. Remember, I was a Muslim. I never know all of this stuff. But you, Jesus, give it to me. Anyone else before we pray? Amen. Anyone else? Okay, great. I will ask those who raise their hand, come forward and let me pray with you. Don't be ashamed. Amen. Give them a hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Anyone else? I'm proud of them. Praise the Lord. Jesus loves you. He gave everything for you. And he wanted to bless your life. Amen. Let us pray together. Lord, thank you so much for my friends here. Thank you for giving them the courage to come forward and give their life to you. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you will receive them, and I know you receive them already, and give them open heart to take more and more from you. Okay, guys, I wanted you to pray after me. Lord Jesus, forgive my sin. Sorry for everything I have been living in. I blow it, Lord. Forgive my sin. Come to my heart. Wash my heart. Wash my sin away. I accept you into my heart. Thank you for being my daddy. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for accepting me today. Change my heart. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the power of God. I will follow you, Jesus. And no turning back. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Congratulations. Amen. Congratulations. Congratulations. Praise the Lord. Who would like to be bold? Who would like to be bold and take the gospel to other people? Raise your hand. Amen. Come forward. Come forward. And my brother will keep singing. We will put you for work overtime today. Yeah, if you wanted to be bold, come forward. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Amen.
So I come to you with arms open wide. Give my heart to you. Only you can satisfy. Let your fire burn to the depths of my soul. Take me deeper, Lord. I want to lose control. So I come to you with arms open wide. Give my heart to you. Only you can satisfy. Let your fire burn to the depths of my soul.
Yes, Lord.
Take me deep, Lord. I want to lose control. I want more of you. I need more of you. I want more of you.
Hallelujah. Lord Hallelujah. Jesus, we praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for my friends.